Hi, my name is Tori Shendel Cox. I'm the Virginia D. Schrader Curator of Art at the Evansville Museum. And today with our telecast, we have Dr. Heidi Strobel. And Heidi, thank you so much for your time. I'm going to turn it over to you.
Great. My pleasure. Hello, everybody. I hope you're safe and healthy and can stay at home. I teach art history at the University of Evansville. I'm in the archaeology and art history department. I am the art history of that. I'm also the curator of the Peters Margaudant House, which is a small house that was designed by Evansville's own Wes Peters. It's 552 square feet. It's on the campus of the University of Evansville. And the other thing that I do at U of E is that I am the associate dean of the William L. Ridgway School of Arts and Sciences. So I have a long title like Tori does. So what I would say is I spend a lot of my time on those first two jobs, and I'm kind of a lieutenant for the third job. So when my dean asks me to do things, to follow up on things, that's what I do with that job. That's probably the easiest to explain, and the job that maybe has been the least affected by being at home. The first two jobs, the job of professor and the job of curator, have been profoundly affected by what's going on right now. And I will add another part of my professional personality, I guess, is as a writer. Tomorrow, my manuscript was supposed to be done. It is a book that I'm writing on a textile artist named Mary Linwood. And it was supposed to be submitted to the publishers. Now, there are very few positive things about a pandemic. I would say there aren't any, really. But I can give myself a lot more leeway for asking for an extension on a manuscript deadline when something this profound is going on around me. So that's an important part, I think, of many academics too, depending on the institution, but certainly a lot of my colleagues at the University of Evansville are also writers, studio artists. They do things outside the classroom that help them to be better inside the classroom as well. And so I would say that part of my life has also been affected by what's going on in our world right now. And I'll talk a little bit more about that, but in a little bit. But I want to talk about the teaching first, because that's really the kind of the core of my life. So right now I have two classes that I'm trying to teach. One of them is a class that's devoted to the Peters Margaudant House, and it is a change lab class, which is an experiential type of education. And there are a lot of upperclass men and women in that class. And they are working on different projects for the house. So I have somebody who's working on interior design, somebody who's working on social media, somebody who's working on landscaping. They all have their own tasks. Mm-hmm. I would say that this is the class that's been the least affected by what's going on, by the coronavirus, because most of these students were ready to get out and be doing their own things anyhow. I had them paired up with somebody who was kind of like a lieutenant, and now the only way that they can really talk to their lieutenant, so to speak, is either by text or Zoom or whatever. But that's okay. Like that's a really mild imperfection in the whole scheme of things. So we made the transition to Zoom pretty easily. So that's great. So I'm really heartened by the progress that I see in that area. I would say the only challenge with that is the one student who's assigned to landscaping, because we have to figure out how to do that without getting ourselves within 6 feet of anybody else. Right. And so I'm in the process of figuring out how to do that. But I mean, I'm totally fine working 6 feet away from him and with a face mask on or whatever. You know, I've done many things in my life as an art historian that they didn't tell me about in graduate school, including vacuuming regularly. And so I'm fine. In fact, I like the idea of helping to landscape our house, the Peters Margaudant House. So the tours have been suspended there. So that is a frustrating part of this, but I'm working with a colleague in my department and my assistant for the house, Jordan Hall, who's really wonderful and works full-time in the admissions department at UE, but is also my curatorial assistant, to think about creative ways of trying to get the Peters Margaudant House out to to more people, you know? So that, and that will, you know, involve probably at some point TikTok or something, just have not gotten to that point quite yet. Mm-hmm. So then my other class that I've been teaching, I would say has been more challenging in terms of what's going on. I really like teaching my survey classes because I get a combination of archaeology and art history majors, so our own majors, and then students who are in there, they might be nursing, they might be theater, they might be a studio art, a bunch of different backgrounds. And I really like guiding them through the process of understanding art and the different periods of art.
Yeah.
And I know sometimes my colleagues who I've gone to grad school with, some of them might be like, oh, I just like to teach upper level classes. And those are fun because you can have a different conversation, but I always feel invigorated by both, or I usually feel invigorated by both. And so I guess I've missed teaching that class in person a lot. I haven't chosen Zoom as the platform for that class because I already had an online version of that class ready to go. So while I would say, physically it was easier to transition that class to an online class, I think emotionally it was more difficult because it really was so far away from what I wanted to do class. Mm-hmm. And they just completed an exam this morning, and that's been also a challenge because out of 25 students, I have 6 internationals, 4 from Oman, 1 from Paris, and 1 from China. And out of those 6, 5 have gone home. And so I've been trying to figure out how to accommodate students who are in different time zones, first of all, which isn't, I mean, that's just a logistical thing, but they also don't know what their internet's going to be like in quarantine.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've had to talk to some of my close friends who are my colleagues and just say, what do you think? You know, what's the bottom line here? Do they need to be tested in exactly the same way? Or can we test them a little differently? Because I want to be compassionate here. Mm-hmm. And I also don't want to drive myself crazy with trying to come up with a solution that's going to work, you know? And so that's what I would say is like, and I also just miss having that dynamic in the classroom where there are 6 students who are visibly from different countries, you know, that, or you can hear as soon as they open their mouth, and having our, you know, the non-ESL population. So that's been kind of, and even this morning trying to, you know, figure out with the guy in Paris, like, you need to do this. What haven't you done? Like, go through. So it's been that kind of stuff. That's just, that is frustrating. That is the, and I'm lucky because I had this class pretty much ready to go. I taught it a couple summers ago. So I had the assignments kind of mapped out that I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. You know, and so then there's always, I mean, not always, but here in my situation, there's also having to juggle other needs for Zoom calls in the households and troubleshooting internet technology for children, my own, you know, and, you know, again, I'm not, you know, I have help with that, but it's just, it's a completely different ballgame. You know, you find yourself, like I was trying to solve something last night for one of the international students, and end of the day, but there's, you know, I felt like I needed to kind of take care of it. Then I'm tired. There's noise going on, you know? So it's that kind of, that's what I'm finding to be so challenging. So that's, I think that's it in not really a nutshell, but that's what I do. You know, I have a few other deadlines that are out there. I'm doing, I've been asked to be a reviewer for an exam in a college on the East Coast, and that's been transitioned to online, and that's fine too. But it's that kind of stuff where I'm like, okay, did I remember this? Is this, you know, and I like things to go according to schedule, and I'm type A. And so this, on a very basic level, it's challenging, you know, it's really kind of hitting those, you know, my Achilles heel, I'll put it that way. And just also, you know, just remember, I feel like right now there's so much email. that's what that you know, and that is distracting and can pull you away from grading, can pull you away from you know, from I haven't done writing for, you know, a couple days, but I can pull you away from editing or just, you know, putting your attention completely on one thing. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, out of curiosity, could you share what type of strategies that you've come up with or that you're able to implement to have diverse test materials?
Yes. Actually, you will like this because it has to do with one of the books that you loaned me. So I was trying to think about how to work with my students who might have unreliable internet during the quarantine. Mm-hmm. And so what I decided to do is to give them the option of reading and reviewing either Chasing Aphrodite. Mm-hmm. And I haven't done the assignment, like it's the assignment's still in my head right now. Mm-hmm. Or the Thieves of Baghdad.
But,
yeah. So, and I may throw one more in there just depending, but I think what I'm going to have them do is do like a summary analysis. Mm-hmm. Now, all of these students are archaeology majors and some of them are art history majors as well or minors. So this is particularly relevant. I'm lucky in that, right?
Yeah.
So I can say, okay, yes, this isn't memorizing what the Council of Trent said about Caravaggio,
right,
which is what is technically what I should be focusing on. Mm-hmm. But again, what's the greater good here? Yeah. They're back home. I don't know what their internet is like. I want to give them an assignment that's relevant. I want to give them something. And in fact, that's probably going to take longer than the actual exam. But it gives me some flexibility, gives them, and then also, you know, their English is really pretty good, but they can get those books in Arabic if they want. You know, they can get an Arabic version of that, and that'll be easier for them. So that's what I've landed on after talking to my colleague, Jenny Ebeling, in the department, because she has a class that's it's a similar situation, and that was not her solution, but that was the solution that I came up with, because it just seemed like for me, for them, for this particular class, for this lower level class, that was a substitution that I was absolutely fine with. So, and it's also good too, because I mean, it's teaching, if they choose the Thieves of Baghdad, then they're choosing to research something that's close to where they're from, you know, closer than Indiana.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And there's a lot of great supplementary materials with that too. So if you get vicarious by any ways, I'm just a huge fan of that book. I really am.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and also Jenny Ebeling introduced him at a conference a couple years ago at an ASOR conference, because I was telling her about the book and I said, I was almost done. And I said, Tori would probably let me borrow it or loan it to you. So she said, do you know that he was at an ASOR conference? So American Society for Oriental Research, and old fashioned name, but she is really involved and she's been on the board of ASOR. And she had great things to say about him. And she said that he stuck around at the conference. He gave the keynote and then he stuck around the conference for a couple of days afterwards and was really good about working with the people at the conference and not removing himself from the conference once he'd given his talk. Mm-hmm. So, so I thought that was a solution that I was totally fine with. And it wasn't, I think I came up with it, but it was just, I just talked it through with her. Mm-hmm. And so I'm fortunate, I guess, too, that's another part of my, I think, sanity, keeping my sanity here, is that I'm able to kind of talk my way through some of these assignments with some of my colleagues here and some of my colleagues, you know, in different institutions, whether I'm texting with them or FaceTiming or whatever. So, so that's one strategy. I just, you know, it's hard because you want to do really well and you want to maintain authority. And I feel like I'm still learning how to use Zoom. So when I start my Zoom class in an hour, I can only imagine how much fumbling I'm going to do. So that's, I guess, it's not an assignment that I've come up with, but it's a something of just a realization I've had to make that I this is going to be so imperfect and so not that I'm perfect in the classroom, but it's going to be so unlike the way I'd prefer to deliver this information. So,
and that makes sense. Especially yeah, if you put your heart and soul into what you do, like it just in the mind, it has to be perfect. And to have this uproot of just uncertainty come in, it's crazy.
Yeah, and you know, we start advising next week. Yeah, it's next week we start advising, and you know, are we going to be back in the classroom in the fall? You know, because we could have, and that's some of the stuff that if I think about it too much, it's just going to drive me nuts. Because, you know, hopefully the quarantine will be lengthy enough here to get us out of danger. And I'm very thankful to be, I mean, not that there isn't corona in Indiana, but I'm very thankful to be where we are right now and to be able to do things like, you know, to quarantine. But, you know, we don't know how this, we know that this virus mutates. And so are we going to have another uptick in it in the summertime, and does that mean then that we will be online again in the fall, you know, which I know that I will have more time to. So the challenge I would say for a lot of people at UE, and I'm speaking more on behalf of, I mean, I was in a fortunate place to, but was to transition so quickly.
Yeah.
So, you know, how do you transition a class? You know, you helped us a couple weeks ago with my colleague, Dennis Malfatti. You were so kind to host us, Tori, at the museum. You know, how do you transition a class like that is a choral class, an ensemble class, to online?
Yeah.
You know, how do you, it's hard to do with theater too. You know, how do you do that? And so we didn't have a lot of time to do that. I mean, the positive thing about, if we go online in the fall, we should know with more time, we should have more time to prepare for this. So I think that is a pressing concern as well. But yeah, that's another kind of component of being a faculty member right now, I would say. And things like conferences, you know, obviously conferences and for you too have been canceled. And that's okay. But, you know, that's for a lot of us academics, that's often where we get, and museum professionals, it's where we get our kind of, oh, we get to see our friends, we get to present our research. And that's, you know, that can be transitioned to Zoom. It's just not the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Really, it's why I like the conferences so much is, yes, you get the newest information of what's going on in your field to the conference topic, but it's an opportunity for you to get revitalized as a professional.
Yes. Yes. I feel like electric when I'm there. Like I feel electrified. It's hard for me to sleep while I'm there. You know, I just feel really like I get to see and hear about all this cool stuff. And, you know, yeah, so that's a frustration. I will also say there was another assignment, and I was bummed about this, but I had an assignment for my lower level class, the one with a lot of internationals, and it was meant to compare a work of art they could see in person to a work of art that was in their textbook. And it was a formal analysis paper, you know, and you and I had just been at the museum, and I'd taken pictures of works of art in the museum, and I had just shown them right before spring break. And I'm like, here are all kinds of options you could write on here at the Evansville Museum. You know, I showed them the Kara Walker. I showed them, who's the, I'm forgetting his name, the guy who did the kind of the piece, the riff on Caravaggio that's up, the one with the woman.
Vincent Will the Third.
Yes. I was thinking Will, I couldn't. So, I mean, I showed them that piece. I showed them some of the other ones that we looked at. And so I was really excited about them going and seeing something in person. And so that's had to be transitioned, you know, and I don't usually like saying, yes, it's okay if the other work of art is something that you see online, that I don't know what else to do. And I mean, I said to them, you can do that, or you can go out and you might have art in your house you can use, or you can do it with architecture. because you can certainly get out and look at buildings and things like that. So anyhow, so that's my other kind of assignment that I've had to tweak for this. And things like presentations too, like it's just not the same, but it'll have to be really imperfect and have people recording their voices, and that's just going to have to be how it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And luckily it's the free technology, so I'm grateful to Zoom to even letting us do something like this. So
I know. Yeah, that's true. So yeah, so those have been kind of the challenges that we've encountered, I think. And again, I'm in a fortunate place. I have colleagues at UV who have over 50 advisees, you know, and they would normally meet with each of these advisees for a half an hour. So my hats go off to those colleagues, because they're doing, you know, they're doing a Herculean thing, and now they're doing it in a different format and probably stumbling a little bit, you know, with learning that format. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Heidi, is there anything else you'd like to share with us?
I don't think so. Just support, you know, I mean, I'm preaching to the choir, but, you know, when we all get to a position where we are, you know, able to get out of our houses and make donations, whether, you know, monetary or otherwise, just, you know, please support our cultural institutions, small, medium, and large. And I'm really grateful to Tori to have an opportunity to speak with you all today.
Oh, absolutely. And we appreciate it too. Like, seriously, thank you for your time. This is great insight. And it's interesting to see how our academic community is transitioning too, and getting more insight what that looks like. So I know that I've spoken with other academics, and it'll be a good way for us to talk about what's going on and how we can make these transitions and be successful, so that if we do have to prolong it, like you said, there is time to prepare, but at least we've had a little bit of trial and error period. So it'll be appreciated.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's been the conversation at the upper levels, like, how do we pivot next? Like, if this happens again, you know, and we were, our timing was lucky in that we were on spring break when this happened. Well, when the quarantine tightened, right? Because I think we could see it coming for a while. And I feel like, I think it was like 2 weeks ago. Yeah, I mean, a little bit after I saw you last, it was, that's when it really tightened. And so we could, you know, some of us could, I mean, we had a little bit of lead time, but we didn't have the kind of lead time that you really need to make a class successful. And then there are, I mean, I think of our adjuncts too, right? So I'm, again, fortunate in that I've been at the University of Evansville for 16 years, and I have, you know, I'm at the midpoint of my career now. I'm not at the beginning. So I have this kind of stockpile of experiences, of different classes, of things like that. Mm-hmm. And again, I have the utmost admiration for people who are doing this for a lot less money, you know, and who have a lot less experience and who need to go to conferences in order to get a job. Like I am, you know, and I think that my colleagues are doing a pretty good job of creating those kinds of virtual places that can happen. In fact, Jenny Ebeling came up with a really good idea for our alumni, and I love this idea. So we have a pretty vocal alumni Facebook and Instagram group, and she's having one of our alums who lives in Boston now organize virtual panels, things like, you know, what to do after graduate school, what to do if you go into something other than archaeology or art history or classical studies, mm-hmm. Adventures, you know, in the field, adventures in the museum. And so these are things, and I think that when we're in this period of seclusion, people are thirsty for this kind of contact, right? Because you're sick of seeing the same people. You again? Yeah. Oh, right. You live here. yeah. So if we can view those as positives coming out of this, I guess there are some positives in that we have, you know, that's a type of connection that maybe that wouldn't have happened if we weren't stuck at home.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All about the silver linings at the end of the day.
I'm trying.
Absolutely. Yeah. Heidi, we definitely appreciate your time. Seriously, thank you so much for spending your afternoon, especially right before class, to speak with us. And on behalf of our viewers, this is an Evansville Museum recording, and Thank you again for your time.
Thanks, Tori.
See ya.